Turn to Luke 18, if you will. We're going to read Luke's account, and then we're going to turn to Mark and look at his account of the same thing. And of course, we're before the cross, and doctrinally, you're still in an Old Testament situation where it's faith and works for salvation. And so this is a picture of New Testament salvation. And we're going to apply it that way. And so what I'm going to give you tonight is just milk. If you're 7 or 70, you can handle some milk. And it'll be good for you. And just relax. I mean, I'm not your enemy. I'm not mad at you. I may preach like it sometimes, but my desire is that you get some help. If you're here and you've never been saved, my real desire for you is the same desire the Lord has, is that you come to Christ today and get saved. And if you did, I promise you, you'd never be sorry. But let's read Luke chapter 18, and we'll begin in verse 35. And it says, "It came to pass that as he was come nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Pardon me, but I'll tell you, I'm glad that he didn't pass me by. I'm glad I've had 38 years of preaching. You pardon me, I get a little emotional, but well, I'll tell you, it's real. I couldn't find anything like it in this world. And I've had a good part of it, man. For 41 years, I've been happy as a dead pig in the sun. I may take a running fit like a water buffalo here in a minute. I don't know. I'm glad to be saved and glad I got something that I can get excited about other than just the things of the world. But he says, "He cried and saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they went before, rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And then when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Now, if you will, turn back to Mark chapter 10, and we'll just read these verses as we go, but it begins down around verse 20 or 46. Let's have another word of prayer. Father, thank you again for this time, for the good singing. Lord, what a blessing tonight, these children and then these young folks. My soul, Lord, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout tonight. Jesus Christ is alive and real, and I'm thankful that they're lifting him up like they did. What a blessing to be a part of it. And I pray now the Holy Spirit will just move up and down these aisles. Lord, you know our hearts and what needs to be done. And I just ask you to have your way. Lord, put me behind the cross that people see Jesus Christ and that he's exalted. I pray you'll reclaim those that are contrary, save the lost, encourage those that need it. Lord, whatever's needed tonight, I just pray you'll minister and do what we cannot possibly do for the glory of Jesus Christ. I ask it all in his name. Amen. And amen. And so, I'm preaching tonight on when Jesus passes by. I'll tell you, when he passes by, lives are changed and people are never the same. And that's all there is to it. Everywhere he went, everywhere the disciples that followed him went, there was either a riot or a revival or both. But there was nobody that was left much without some sort of an opinion one way or the other, whether they were for it or against it. And so I have figured out a long time ago, you can't believe this book and preach it like God wrote it and get away with it. So you just have to make your mind up. If God said it, that's the way it is. And if it's right, do it. And if it ain't, quit it. And if you can't quit it, kick yourself around the block. Amen. But I mean, God said it. That's how it is. I didn't write it. I was preaching Friday night over in Gatlinburg. And I was preaching about sin and sinners. And this one guy got real offended. And he said, "Well, how do you know I'm a sinner? You don't know me." And I said, "Well, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. God said you're a sinner. God said every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart's evil continually." I said, God said, this, every man in his best state's altogether vanity. He said, huh. And he went on down the street. He wasn't interested in discussing it any further. But Jesus passed by and lives were changed. By the time we got out of there, 9 people had come to Christ. Amen. I'm telling you what a blessing it is to see the Holy Spirit do something. It wasn't anything we did. We just giving them the gospel and preaching what God said about it. And the Lord took care of all the rest of it. But our job is to be faithful. And Jesus is passing by here tonight. And I don't know what you have need of, but if you've never been saved, I hope you get plugged in. Amen. I look around here tonight, folks, and when Jesus passes by, lives are changed and people are never the same. I look at these young people, man, some of them have already decided they're going to keep their purity. They're not going to sacrifice it on the altar of lust like the rest of the world and ruin their hopes and ruin their dreams. They're going to stand before a preacher pure and they're going to say, till death do us part, and mean it. Hey! There ain't a thing wrong with that. I don't care what the world says about it. You make your mind up now. I'm going to stick with the Lord and His book, and the rest of it will find its place. Amen. But there are young people here tonight that are doing crazy things like standing on street corners and yelling over the traffic and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He can save. Hey, that takes some courage and some backbone. I'm for it. I'm thankful for it. I was preaching in all night of Friday and looked over across the street and over there was Josh preaching. I thought, where'd that nut come from? Hallelujah. Have at it, boy. Give it to them. Amen. Wind it up and let her rip, baby. They're not going to like you. If you're nice to them and you compromise with them and you go along with them, they'll call you a hypocrite. And if you take a stand against them, they'll call you some kind of a holy Joe or a holier than thou. Hey, don't worry about what the world thinks about it. You be more concerned about what the living God thinks about it. And I'm telling you, when Jesus passes by, you'll see young people start doing wild things like gathering around the flagpole and praying, like starting Christian clubs at school, like doing wild things like passing out flyers and trying to get their friends to come to something called a fifth quarter so they can hear the gospel, carrying Bibles and passing out tracts. Hey, when Jesus passes by, lives are changed. People are never the same. Amen. You pardon me. He passed by me 41 years ago. I took the cure. I've tried everything else. Hey, I didn't come up in a Christian home. I'm sorry. I wish I would have. I didn't have the advantage a lot of you folks had. If my mannerisms were a little rude, I apologize. But I was raised by a drunkard that used to get drunk and shoot at us. I've run for my life. I run to carry a football at night, jumping over fences and dodging trees and bullets. Amen. I don't regret it. It was good for me. Hey, I come out of the sewer and I found out that Jesus is still in the life-changing business. Amen. When Jesus passes by old meth heads, hey, they get saved in a jail cell. And they get out of there and get cleaned up. And they go back to the same jail and preach the gospel. Amen. Hey, when Jesus passes by, old stubborn, old bone-headed veterans, hey, they'll do crazy things like drive church buses. They'll do wild things like pass out tracts. They'll do crazy things like win people to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, when Jesus passes by, I'm telling you, lives are changed and people are never the same. Amen. I look around this crowd, man. I see a menagerie. There's educated folks here. Hey, when Jesus passes by, there's folks that were exposed to higher education, raised in professionals' homes that never knew they were supposed to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. And man, when Jesus passed by, they got plugged in. Hey, they started going to the street. They started going to the jails. Hey, they put all that behind them like the Apostle Paul. I counted all but dung that I might win Christ. And they started standing up for Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus passes by, folks, lives are changed. People ain't never the same. I ain't never got over it. Man, I've been happy as a dead pig in the sun since 41 years ago. Jesus passed by and I didn't miss it. I wasn't going to miss it. I didn't care what anybody thought about me. Man, I found my way to a little Baptist church and I sat all the way in the back there against the wall, and I felt like the weight of the world was on my shoulders. The Holy Spirit was raking me over the coals, skinning me alive, and that preacher, every time he'd point, he was pointing right at me. He just kept on preaching. I thought, man, ain't you ever going to shut up? I need to get saved. He finally quit preaching. He said, anybody need to get saved? He said, come up here. Man, I got down the aisle. I didn't look around to see if there was anybody else, what anybody might think about it. I didn't care what my drinking buddies thought about it. They weren't really my buddies, I'm telling you. Long as I had some money, they were. But I got down the aisle, and I got a bath in the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo, when Jesus passes by, lives are changed. People are never the same. Well, here's a picture of an unsaved man. I'll get to preaching here in a minute. Maybe, I don't know. But this man is blind and he's begging. This picture's an unsaved man. He's spiritually blind. That's why you and I have a real job. These folks out here are lost and they need somebody to shine the light of the gospel to them. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And these people need somebody to be a witness to them. And that's us. I mean, I think I've read somewhere where we're the light of the world. I may have got that backwards. I don't know. But the lost are blinded to the truth of God. This man was blind and he was begging. Now, he was physically blind and ultimately he got physical healing from his blindness. But it is a picture of an unsaved man who's in his blindness as far as the things of God and don't have a clue. And if somebody that's got a clue don't give him the gospel, he's never going to figure it out. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And these people are blind. They need the light of the gospel. The Bible says this, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. He needs the Holy Spirit to reveal it. And he don't get the Holy Spirit till he gets saved. And so, you and I have a real responsibility to see that somehow they get the gospel. The lost don't understand. They're walking around the pit, one step away from a lake of fire. Man, they're one step away from knocking a hole in hell so big it'd take the devil 6 months to patch it up. And we know that. And we ought to take the responsibility to try to keep them out of hell. I tell you, it's real. Hell is still real, whether anybody preaches on it or not. I retired from factory work about the end of March. And I've had an opportunity to watch Christian programming. That's what it's called. But all this time, I have not yet heard hell mentioned one time by anybody. All they talk about is being the best you can be. And, you know, this... just Joel Oster and Joker Joyce are on every day, almost every channel, man. They just wear me. I can't take it. I'm sorry. I don't have a red-blooded man can sit and listen to that. Man, if they cut themselves, they'd have to do 10 push-ups before they could bleed. I'm telling you. Christianity ought to have some manhood to it. Hey, the Bible says there was a man sent from God. And his name was John. And John showed up at a time when it wasn't popular. They had 400 years they hadn't heard from God. And he walked out there, that big old number 13, stomped that thing down and said, you better repent. And the king said, I'll not have that. And he took his head. That's a great revival. The preacher lost his head. It was well worth it. God sent a man to do a man's job. Now, I know, ladies, you got a part to play in this. I'm not downplaying that. But I'm telling you, God still calls men. And I don't know, when the Lord saved me, he didn't pull my backbone out and put in a wet noodle and some French fries for ribs. Now, I ain't what I always ought to be, but I'll tell you, before I was saved, I was a barroom brawler and a street fighter, and I ain't forgot how. And when things start getting a little sticky, you know, that old nature rises up. And my first thought is, poke them in the eye, you know. You ain't allowed to do that anymore, but some of them need it. But this picture's an unsaved man. And you'll notice he said, as they passed by the multitude, the blind man said, you know, what's going on? He didn't understand. He didn't know he couldn't see. He didn't understand what all the commotion was about. Isn't that something? We had a lady come to this church one time, been years ago. We knocked on her door and invited her, and she was a real pretty high society type lady. And I was shocked when she showed up for church. I mean, you wouldn't have thought it, but she came. And, you know, folks got hooping and hollering around a little bit and, you know, kind of getting a little rowdy. And she got up and got her kids and left. She said, "Oh, I'll not be subject my children to this kind of stuff." Amen. And then you go home and turn on the ball game and, you know. I tell you what wears me out. People say, "You preachers, you're all hellfire and damnation and rude and this and that." And they go home and sit and watch naked men and women run all over their living room over that boob tube. Hey, David said, "I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes." And we'll sit around and listen to junk and watch junk. And we know full well that it's damaging our spiritual life. And the Holy Spirit in us is grieved. And then we'll get mad at the preacher because he's a little bit rude or a little bit loud. I go on and get mad. I like it. I tell them stick their head in a Winnie roaster. But I've had so much fun over these years. I ain't mad at you. I love you. I'm telling you, I love to preach. I'm a street preacher. Now that's where I'm at home. I love it out there. I do. I get started preaching. I can't help it. It's just good. People start responding and it really gets good. We preach Friday night and there's two ladies sitting over there, a mama and a daughter. And man, they were hanging on every word I was saying. They sat there, man, just eyes glued on me for 30 minutes, I know. And man, finally, they just got up to leave, and they walked right by Ron. Ron set them both down over and took a Bible and led mama and daughter to Christ. Both of them got saved. Boy, when Jesus passes by, I'm telling you, lives are changed, and people are never the same. Young people will start doing wild things, cheerleaders gathering up on a football field and praying before a football game in spite of the ACLU and in spite of that godless freedom from religion bunch of atheists. Hey, let them all find out hell's a real place. God Almighty saw that. I'm telling you, the Lord will bless a bunch of people that'll take a stand for right. We're living in a day and time when it's going to get worse. You young folks, I tell you, I feel for you because you're facing something. I mean, when I was going to school growing up through about the sixth grade, I'll get back to this in a minute maybe, but the teachers still had prayer and Bible reading in the school. I remember Carmel Stanley's wife, every morning we'd start our class, she'd open that old King James Bible and read it with tears streaming down her face. And then she'd lead the class in prayer. And then we'd stand and we'd salute the flag and pledge allegiance to it. I tell you, we ain't worse off for doing it. We're worse off because they stopped it. They got that dude and that bunch of godless socialists that reformed our school system like Russia's and kicked God out. Hey, they threw the preaching of hell out of the school. Now they got hell in the school. They threw the Bible out. Now we got to put it in the jailhouse. Amen. We're not worse off because we did those things. Brother, it caused us to want to love our country. I got out of high school in 1970. I thought my civic duty, because this country was at war, was to go to war. And I went down to the draft board and signed my name on the dotted line. And I don't regret it. If I had to do it again, hey, when this 9/11 thing happened, we went to the recruiter and tried to sign up. They said, "We don't want no old geezers." That's all right. I can still pull a trigger. You might have to run me around a wheelchair, but I'll do some shooting. When Jesus passes by, I'm telling you, lives are changed. People ain't ever the same. Man, I've worked with some of these guys and been around them for a lot of years, and man, I've seen the Lord. I've seen stuff here in the street, in the jail. I've seen Jesus pass by and lives change. Man, I'm telling you, hey, I've had so much fun. Sometimes I get to wonder if it might not be illegal. What a blessing, man. This man was blind and he didn't understand what all the commotion was about. And people come in here, they may not understand why we get excited and hoop and holler and yell and roar and take running fits. And well, man, I was preaching in the street and I said, "That ought to make a Methodist shout." And these people shouted and had them a time. They thought that was hilarious. And the next group come by, I said, "Why, man, the Lord will save Tennessee Volunteer fans." "What?" I said, "Yeah, he'll save Volunteer fans just like anybody else." They got their attention. That's the whole point. If you can't get them to stop long enough to listen, you can't give them nothing. Jesus Christ is still in the life-changing business. This Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And so Mark said, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And so what happens to those that are spiritually blind? They beg from the world to try to satisfy something that can't be satisfied. David said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." And what they're wanting is that living water. But they don't realize it. They don't know. So they try to satisfy that longing deep inside that God put in there when He made us. They try to satisfy it with bud, what don't make you wiser. I ain't ever met anybody yet that drank that stuff that was wiser. I've seen guys make fools out of themselves many times on that junk. And all the booze and the dope and all that junk. And I tried all that before God saved me. And I found out all you do is make a fool out of yourself. And when it's all said and done, if you didn't get to come to Christ, you die and go to a devil's hell. Boy, what a thing. And so they beg for something from the world. And it's like the horse leech that has two daughters crying, "Give, give." That's this generation. "Brother, everything, give me. The government owes me a living." You know, and they're 3 months behind on payments. Everybody wants something for nothing. I mean, why do you think the lottery's so big? Everybody buying tickets hoping they can hit the $400 million or whatever it is. Trying to cash in on the get-rich-quick kind of scheme. You got people, "Give me, give me, give me." They want free health care, free college tuition. That all sounds good in a socialistic platform, but think about it. The government don't make nothing. Where's the money going to come from? You want it all good? Put a lock on your billfold, boys. Now they'll get it. And it'll come right out of the working man's pocket. It always does. Either party, it don't matter. But the blind, they're begging. And what the world will do, young folks, take my word for it, whether you believe it or not. I walk by the caskets of all of my old dope and drinking buddies. None of them lived to be 40. And some of them got saved, some of them didn't. But none of them lived to be 40. And what the world will do, it'll use you up and wear you out and have you slopping their hogs. You read the story of the lost son in Luke 15. That's exactly what happened to him. He was a young man. He decided he was tired of mom and dad telling him what to do. Now, I got to that point. It's amazing to me. A kid gets around 15, 16, 17, somewhere around there, and they know everything. And they suddenly, they just know it all, and they have no experience whatsoever. Now, I was that way. I thought my mom was just so old-fashioned. And I was so tired of her telling me what to do. I didn't want nobody to tell me what to do, so I joined the Army. And back in those days, they told you and they made you like it. They would put the fist to you. And it was good for me because it knocked that old junk out of me. To where, I mean, I'm still pretty rambunctious and I still don't like authority. But boy, I tell you, it was good for me. They knocked some of that junk out of me. I didn't want to take orders. I didn't want nobody telling me what to do. Well, I tell you, when the Holy Spirit began to convict me, I was glad to yield. I wanted something real. I'd done tried everything the world had, and I wanted something real. I was tired of being a blind, begging sinner, staggering around in this world in my own vomit, slopping hogs for the devil's crowd, and that's all I had to look forward to. Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad that wasn't the end of the story. When Jesus passes by, lives are changed. People ain't ever the same. And this old blind man, when he heard Jesus passing by, You'll read down there about verse 50 when Jesus called him, this man, he cast away his garments. It's a picture of a man throwing away his own righteousness, which is filthy rags. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. The Lord says you and I are sinners, all of us. We're born with Adam's image and Adam's likeness, dead in trespasses and sins. We don't have a choice as to whether we want to be a sinner or not. We have a choice as to whether we want to stay that way or not. Thankfully, when Jesus passes by, He can settle it. And so, we're sinners in need of a Savior. And thankfully, He's the Savior. He's got that living water. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Well, what a thing. Man, that's the best invitation. In fact, that's the last invitation to come in the Bible. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I'll beg you to come when we get to the invitation. And it won't be long. I'm not going to keep you too long. I'll try not to bore you to tears and wear you out. But if you've never been saved, I'd beg you to come down this aisle and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to come to Christ. Nothing hard about it. And you can settle it that way, and it'll be settled, and you'll never have to worry about it. Jesus Christ is still in the life-changing business. I'm glad He is. Well, this blind begging sinner cried out for mercy. You see, when a man gets hungry for God, there ain't enough devils in hell to keep him away. That's all there is to it. And when I got serious about wanting to get saved, there was nobody going to stop me. I done made my mind up. Hey, I was a church member. Isn't that something? I was a member of two churches, come think of it. And I was as lost as a goose in a horse race. The first time I joined a church, I didn't know what I was doing. I was 9 years old. I came to the altar to be saved. Nobody took a Bible and showed me. I didn't have any idea. I didn't know what to do. Jesus passed by and convicted me. And the preacher come by and said, do you know what you're doing? And I knew I wanted to be saved. And I said, yeah. He said, okay. Next thing I know, they're dunking me in the water. And so I went on and lived a life of sin for a lot of years. And then after I got out of the army, I got married. And after a while, my wife got tired of my drinking and doping and carousing around and all the wicked stuff I was involved with, which was a lot, and I'm not proud of it. But I joined another church just because she was going to give me the hydraulic boot out the door. And so I knew that if I joined the church, you know. So I did. You never know a person's motivation. That's why, I mean, I look around. God knows your heart. I don't. You tell me you're saved, I'll have to take your word for it. I don't know. I mean, that's where it's at. It's with the heart that a man believes unto righteousness. And so I went on with my devilment and doing all the wicked stuff I was doing. And I came in one Sunday morning. I'd been out all night hitting the bars and the booze and the dope and surprisingly was sober. And I don't know how. But the Holy Spirit had been raking me over the coals for about 3 weeks. Man, I was as miserable as a poisoned dog, and I was sick of the world and sick of sin. I was tired of ungodliness and wicked living. And I thought, man, if there is something real, I really want to get a hold of it. And boy, I found out. I went to a little old Baptist church out here at Huntsville. It's not a church anymore. They sold the one building and built another one. But I went to that little old church. I didn't know where else to go. That's where my wife's family went. And thankfully, the guy there knew how to tell somebody how to get saved. But I got down the aisle, boy, when he gave the altar call, I didn't worry about what anybody was going to think, say, or do. Boy, I knelt in that altar and I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And man, I got a bath in the blood. Woo! I got up from there a brand new creature, and it's different all along ever since. Boy, I went back to work the next day and started telling people about Jesus Christ. Donald Cook can testify to it. There was a fellow there at dinner time. He was down on his knees. I was giving him the gospel the best way I knew how. That old boy was down on his knees praying, his face black and tears streaming down his face, leaving a white streak. And about that time, Donald showed up and took a little New Testament, showed that old boy how to get saved. That old boy bowed his head and trusted Christ. Man, I left there. You talk about taking a shouting fit. I threw my hard hat down the rode way down there, took me a running fit, best I could. Well, you talk about wild and getting excited. Hey, that's something to get excited about. And you know, I hadn't seen that old boy for 30 years and ran into him out here at the pizza dump. And he said, sorry, Pizza Plus or whatever it is. And that old boy, I didn't recognize him. He was sitting there and he said, hey, he said, ain't you Gary? I said, yeah. He said, well, I ain't seen you in 30 years. He said, I heard you're a preacher. I said, yeah, I've been preaching all these years. He said, well, man, what about that? I said, you still saved? Yeah, I'm still saved. Boy, when Jesus passes by, I'm telling you, lives are changed. Blind receive sight. Spiritual blindness. Hey, that's the worst kind. You take a lot of these hymns, and a hymn book was written by a blind lady. And probably the first thing she ever saw was Jesus Christ. You could do a lot worse. You and I have seen a whole lot of things we probably wish we wouldn't have seen, and you can't get it out of that computer up there. Well, this old blind man, I kind of think Jesus Christ was probably the first thing he ever saw. Old Bartimaeus sitting there by the highway begging. He was completely at the mercy of the world. And a lot of folks in that shape, man. We preach in the street, we run into them. We preach in the jails, we run into them. They're at the mercy of the world. They're begging. They need something real. They can't find it. They're trying to satisfy their soul in all the things of the world, and they're not finding any peace or joy that'll last. Jesus passes by. Lives are changed. This man would not be denied. The crowd tried to stop him. You read it. As they passed on by, this man began to cry out. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him he should hold his peace. Luke says they rebuked him. They told him to shut up, be quiet. Don't bother him, call Benny Hinn. You think about it. As soon as a man wants to get right with God, there'll be somebody try to stop him. I've seen it many times over the years. You be trying to witness to a guy and he really be interested, wanting to come to Christ, and his buddies show up and get him off, take him off and lead him off the other way. If you got friends like that, anybody, preacher or who, I don't care who it is, anybody that will delay you coming to Jesus Christ is not your friend. I don't care who it is. Brother, God says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Well, I was preaching in Gatlinburg one time. You pardon me. I'll get to the message maybe sometime. If I don't, that's all right. We'll preach it tomorrow night. Amen. I got three more nights. I was preaching, and they've changed things over now. But there used to be a gigantic big storm drain down here. And right off the sidewalk there. And this guy came up from South Carolina, and he stood there and listened to the preaching for a while. And finally, he came over. I knew he was wanting to say something. When I'm preaching, I don't like to stop. I don't like people interrupting me. I'll point them to go to somebody else. And I just keep. I like to preach. I do. And with my hearing like it is, I oftentimes have trouble understanding people. So I would rather these guys that go deal with the people, because they can hear them and answer their questions and deal with them. I mean, they might ask me something. I might give them the dumbest answer in the world because it wasn't what they really said, what I thought they said. And so I stopped preaching and began a conversation with this guy. And he told me he was from South Carolina. He came up there to party for the weekend. He left his wife at home. They were on the verge of divorce, and he had kids. And he told me the whole story. And I said, well, man, why don't you just get saved and go back home and tell your wife she's got a brand new husband and put that family back together. Hey, when Jesus passes by, He puts families back together. Hey, husbands and wives come back together. Children are raised by their parents and not spread all over the world in wards of the state or something else. Jesus is still in the life-changing business this evening. Amen. And that young man stood there looking at me. He said, I'm 34 years old. And he said, I came here to party. He said, but God has convicted me and I want to get saved. And I said, all right. I said, let me take this Bible and we'll just kneel down right here. He said, no, sir, preacher. He said, I've been living my life in the gutter and I'm getting saved in the gutter. And he stepped down in that storm drain and knelt down right there in that drain and got saved. Amen. That old boy come up out of there. Hey, he was a brand new creature, amen. And he went back home to South Carolina and told his wife, you got a new husband. He told his kids, you got a new daddy. And we're going to do right. We're going to go to church and we're going to serve God, amen. And I'm telling you tonight, Jesus, when he passes by, he's still in the life-changing business. Hallelujah. Well, you pardon me, that ought to make a Baptist shout tonight. We get excited, we ought to. Well, there's something real about the living water. The Spirit of God, boy, he'll squeeze your heart sometimes and the juice runs out your eyes. You can't take it. Boy, you just swell up. Them kids got up here singing that first group. Man, that's all I could do to sit back there. I wanted to jump over the seat and yell. If I didn't have bad knees, I would. Then these teenagers get singing. Why, man, I want to run out the door and run all the way around and come in and scream. Have me a time. Just take a buffalo running fit. Jesus Christ is still. This man wouldn't be denied. Even though they tried to shut him up, he just cried that much louder. I'm not going to hell for anybody. Hey, that's right. If you're lost tonight, you're on the road to hell for some reason. I don't know who it is that you're going there for. It may be yourself. But I beg you, don't go. Take the cure. I was 9 years old. I saw something I've never forgotten. I probably told you before, but my dad, when my dad died, my dad was shot. When he died begging somebody pull him out of the fire. I was 9 years old. I've never forgotten that. And I never hadn't heard any preaching on hell before, but I'm certain it was there. He saw it. And I made my mind up when the Lord saved me. I can't do anything for my dad, but maybe I can do something for somebody else's dad. Somebody else's son, somebody else's daughter. And I started going to the bars and preaching, and I started going to door, knocking on doors and preaching. I started going to jail cells and preaching, nursing homes and preaching. I just made my mind up. I'm going to try to win somebody. Donald Cook's responsible. You can blame him. I hadn't been saved long, and Donald said, let's go hear this guy preach. This guy's name was Lester Roloff. I'd never heard of him. I didn't know anything about preachers. And Donald said, he's a real man. I got over there and this bald-headed man standing there with a suit about three sizes too big. And I looked that bird over and I thought, that's a man? I mean, the kind of guys I run with was barroom brawlers and street fighters. I mean, And that old boy preached. He had the honeybee quartets, four dope-head girls that had got saved, got up there and sung. Boy, sound like angels. Old Lester Roloff preached. Boy, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit cleaned that place out. And when Lester got done preaching, he got up and began to sing, Must I Go and Empty Handed. Boy, I tell you, I made my mind up right then. I ain't going home empty handed. No, sir. I'm going to win somebody to Jesus Christ. This world may think I'm crazy. They may think I'm loony. But I'll tell you, this bunch down here is going to have it rough when us nuts are gone. Amen. That's right. I am not going home empty-handed. I'm going to win somebody to Jesus Christ, and they can think what they want of me. I've been cussed. I've been called ugly names. I've been threatened to be whipped. I've been threatened to be sued. I've been threatened in a lot of ways. Yeah. They always told me talk's cheap. And I always said, man, if you're going to whip me, don't talk me to death first. Let's just get it on. Guys start threatening me, I'd say, man, bring it on. I don't see no anchor tied to you. We'll fight and then talk later. I mean, that's the way you handle it. And the Lord saved me. Hey, I didn't know you weren't supposed to go in beer joints and preach. You went with me, man. We walked in a beer joint and the bartender went over and unplugged the jukebox that was blasting the windows out. And he said, hey, you guys in here. Some guy on the phone cussing his wife. He made him shut up. The guy laid a pistol on the bar. He said, these guys are going to preach and you guys are going to listen. Hey, we preached about 15 minutes and left. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do stuff like that. I just thought that this thing is so good that you have to tell somebody about it. And the Lord didn't intend for us to lock it up in here. The Word of God's not bound. And I'm telling you, when Jesus passes by, lives are changed. And it don't matter if it's at the school or in the factory or out here in the street or in the jail or the nursery. It don't matter where it's at. The Word of God is not bound. It'll do the job, amen. The blind beggar got the Lord's attention. Wasn't that something? What is man that thou art mindful of him, David said. You imagine with over 7 billion people on this planet, and I don't know how many's praying right now, but the Lord's hearing them all and able to answer them all. And, I mean, he's got the whole universes. I don't know how many there are outside of this one. But he's got all of creation that he's concerned with. And he's interested in us. He's interested in the little old peon like me. I mean, I think of it. Why would God call something like me to preach in the first place? I mean, why? I don't understand that. But boy, I sure am glad he did. Man, over in that little old church every Sunday, they'd sing, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." And every time, man, I'd get down the aisle, I'd come to the altar and I'd say, "Lord, don't pass me by. Give me something to do. I don't care what it is. If it's taking out the garbage, I'll do it. Lord, give me something to do. I got up in the choir and trying to sing. I can't sing a lick. I wanted to do something for God. It was just too good to keep to myself." This man would not be denied. He was hungry for God. Are you? Is there anything tonight that you're more interested in than you are the living God? I've read somewhere, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength." Boy, that's a tough one, ain't it? That's what it says. Well, he got the Lord's attention. The Lord stood still and commanded him to be called. Isn't that something? Many are called, but few are chosen. And the simple reason is the Lord won't choose you till you choose him. John Calvin didn't know what he's talking about. I've read his institutes. He was windy as a sack full of you know what. I've read his testimony of salvation, and I'll have to get to heaven and see him there to believe he's even saved. I'm telling you, I mean, that's my opinion, for whatever it's worth. But I don't believe the 5 points of Calvinism. I think it's pure baloney. Oscar Mayer never packaged it any better. And if you believe that, then free country. Believe whatever you want. It's like Monkey Man. I told a Monkey Man not long ago, I said, "I don't know how anybody ever owned a used car could believe in evolution." I said, "Now, just consider this. When we die, you're going to go where the good monkeys go. And when I die, I'm going to go where the saved sinners go." So you make your choice. You know what the blind need more than anything else? They need to see. And you and I know the truth. We've got the truth, the absolute truth that never changes. It's absolute. It's forever settled in heaven. It was written by the name above every name. And at that name, every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I've already bowed my knee, but I'm willing to do it again anytime. Amen. Have you? Have you ever come to Christ? Do you know right now? Do you know for a fact if you died today, you'd go to heaven? There's no purgatory, no limbo. That's out. I mean, that's the figment of somebody's imagination. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. Doesn't exist. There's heaven and there's hell. And Jesus Christ is the determining factor on which one you wind up at. The Bible says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It's not water baptism, not church membership, it's not the Eucharist, it's not good works, it's not bad works, it's not a combination of all. It's grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. You receive Jesus Christ, he's the Savior. You can be a good Mohammedan with him in a hole in the ground. You can be a good follower of Buddha with him dead and buried. All the founders of this world's religions are dead and buried but one. And if they ever found a fingernail of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have anything to preach. He's alive. And he is the Savior. and you receive Him, and He saves you. You provide the sinner, He provides the Savior. I don't know how it gets any simpler than that. The gospel is simple. And people's minds, through the devil, get corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. It is simple. Bartimaeus needed to see. And so, when he cried out to the Lord and said, I need to see, I want my sight. And the Lord said, okay. You look down here toward the end of this chapter when Jesus commanded this man, they called him, and Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He immediately got what he asked for. And that's a picture of salvation. When you trust Jesus Christ to save you, it's immediate. It's not a process. It's not steps to Christ. It's not all this baloney that people write about. It's you coming as a sinner and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, as many as received Him. And so with his eyes open, he followed Christ. And the Bible says, glorifying God. Do you do that? Do you go around bragging on Jesus Christ? Oh, listen, when He passes by, lives are changed. And people are never the same. Boy, that's the truth. I've seen bartenders. You remember Johnny? Old Johnny run a bar and got saved. And he turned it into a church. We was there the first meeting they had there and still had the name of the bar on the wall. Hadn't even removed it. We went in there and preached the gospel. Lord's still in the life-changing business. He can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Doesn't matter. And when people, sinners like this blind man, are changed, people take notice. You remember the maniac of Gadara? And the Lord cast all them demons out of him, and he wanted to be with the Lord, but he told him to go back to his people and tell them what great things the Lord had done for him and had had compassion on him. And the Bible says he did, and all men did marvel. And you may be sitting here tonight saying, well, I don't know how to witness. I don't know how. All you got to do is tell them what Jesus has done for you. And boy, I'll tell you, it'll shake them up. The first guy I ever seen saved in the coal mine I was talking about, I'd only been saved a day myself. I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know what to tell him. Man, I was preaching that guy's socks off and telling him how I got saved. Boy, what an experience. And that old boy, he was sitting there, well, how did I get saved? And I said, well, you just get saved. I didn't know what to tell him. Ain't that wild? And an unsaved man heard the conversation and went to Donald and told him he better come down there and tell that guy how to get saved. Well, what a thing. You know, the Lord will use anybody. He don't care. I mean, He's in the life-changing business. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, why don't you come to Christ tonight? You're in a place amongst friends. Nobody here would think a thing about it. We'd all rejoice and be happy. We might take a running fit, I don't know. But we'd be glad. There'd be nobody. I mean, there's nothing to be afraid of. And if you're here and you're saved, man, make your mind up. I ain't going home empty-handed. I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ the best way I know how, however He might lead me. And I don't know what the Lord tell you to do. But whatever it is, be willing. Just make your mind up. I ain't going home empty-handed. I'm going to keep my purity. Till I say I do. I'm not going to get involved in all this junk the world's got going on, the dope and the drugs and all that baloney that ruins lives. And I mean, that devil will have you flopping his hogs, and it'll all be on you before you even realize it. And I'm telling you, we don't take advice. I know how we are. When I was 16 years old, you couldn't tell me I knew everything and had no life experience whatsoever. And a lot of young people are that way. I've met a lot of them that way. And you try to reason with them, and they know it all already. And some of them just have to learn the hard way. Well, I hope you're not one of them. I hope you'll take the advice of the Holy Spirit in this story about this blind man getting his sight and just come to Jesus Christ and trust Him. And if you'll do that, I promise you, you'll never be sorry. Will you bow your heads? I want us to have an invitation. I appreciate you putting up with me.